Elisha was a remarkable man. Read of him in the latter chapters of the first book of Kings and the early chapters of the second book of Kings. After his calling through Elijah, from which we heard from Lindy, he ministered for over 50 years through the reigns of six kings of Israel. He lived in the middle of the 8th century before Christ, half a century or so before the first of the writing prophets, whose books form the latter part of the Old Testament. It was after the kingdom of David and Solomon had divided in two, and Elisha lived in the northern kingdom with the 10 tribes of Israel. Following his call, he did an apprenticeship under Elijah, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. As we heard, he became Elijah's attendant. It was later said of him, he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. He went about with Elijah, seeing God at work through Elijah. It's good to receive such a training alongside another, whether for a job in the world or a task in the church. So when the time came for Elijah to be taken to heaven, as we heard in our reading, Elisha was ready. Three times Elijah told him to stay put, and three times Elisha refused to do so and went on with Elijah. And then his moment came, as we heard. Elijah asked what he could do for Elisha before he died. And Elisha replied, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." This was not a request to be greater than Elijah. It was a request that he might receive the portion due to an elder son. In the book of Deuteronomy, it lays down that the eldest son in an Israelite family should receive a double portion, double that is what his brothers received. As we heard, Elisha saw Elijah taken up to heaven, so he knew his request had been granted. God confirmed it when Elisha struck the River Jordan with Elijah's cloak, and it divided to the right and the left. He was able to cross over. Elijah's ministry on earth had included a number of miracles recorded in Scripture. Elisha's was to include more. We heard in our reading the next miracle, when he threw salt into the well at Jericho, the water, which had been in some way bad, became wholesome. Some of the miracles are only described briefly, like making a lost axe head float, or making some bitter food wholesome, or the miraculous provision of olive oil for a widow, similar to what Elijah had done for a widow earlier. You can read all about them in 2 Kings chapters 3 to 8. They're not all in chronological order. People did not always write in chronological order in those days. We're not going to look at them. We're going to have a look at the bigger events in the life of Elisha. Firstly, there was a woman in a town called Shunem. She and her husband built an extra room on the roof of their house, so that Elisha could stay with them when passing through. Elisha prophesied that she would have a son late in life, and she did. But a few years later, the son died. Elijah had been used to raise a dead boy to life, and now Elisha was used in the same way. 2 Kings 4, Verse 32. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned and walked back and forth in the room, then got on the bed, stretched out on the boy again. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. He lived. Secondly, the next big event was the healing of Naaman, the Syrian general, of leprosy. Elisha didn't come out of his house to meet him, but sent a message to him to go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Naaman was angry at this reception. He said, 2 Kings 5 verse 11, "I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his arm over a spot, and cure me of my leprosy." But Naaman's servants persuaded him to wash in the Jordan, and he was healed. What's more, he came to faith in the Lord. He said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel." Thirdly, there was a time when the Syrians, also called Arameans, tried to capture Elisha because he was miraculously warning the king of Israel of when and where the king of Syria was going to attack. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. "When the servant of Elisha, the man of God, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots, chariots of fire, all around Elisha. God protects those who are his." Elisha prayed that God would make his army blind, and God did so. Elisha then led them to Samaria, the capital of Israel, where the eyes were opened. They saw they'd been taken captive. But rather than have them killed, Elisha ordered a feast for them and afterwards sent them home. Fourthly, peace followed for a time, presumably some years after that. But then Syria attacked again, this time besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in the city after a while. But the day came when Elisha prophesied an end to the siege the next day. Some didn't believe. But God caused the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, and they fled. So what can we learn from the life of Elisha? Firstly, we've already seen the great things that followed from obedience to God's call. Just as Jesus' disciples left their work when Jesus called them to follow him centuries later, so Elisha had left his earthly inheritance without delay in response to God's call to follow Elijah. God called you to do something, would you do it without delay? Secondly, we've seen the value of apprenticeship, learning on the job. Elisha was trained by Elijah. Thirdly, Elisha has been called a type of Jesus. The word type is used in various ways in English. Here it means a foreshadowing. As my wife helpfully described it to me, if you walk with the sun behind you, you see your shadow on the ground in front of you. Your foreshadow. It doesn't show the whole of you, but it shows something of you. It is a type of you. Various Old Testament prophets are types of Jesus. They show something of Jesus in advance of his coming. Moses, we learn, was a type of Jesus in that he was a prophet. Elijah was a type of Jesus, most clearly in his raising a child from death. Elisha, too, raised a child from death. Elisha did other miracles, so did Jesus. One of Elisha's miracles I've not mentioned, the feeding of the 100 men, 2 Kings 4, verse 42. A man came from a town bringing Elisha, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe corn, along with some heads of new corn. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" the servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." Then he set before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. That reminds us of how Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. So Elisha was a type of Jesus, a foreshadowing of the Messiah. Fourthly, Elisha was keen to be used by God. He asked for a double portion of God's Spirit, a double portion of Elijah's Spirit. No half measures for Elisha. He'd heard and seen what God had done through Elijah. He wanted God to use him in similar ways. And God did use him in ways which we've seen, and in other ways which you can read in 2 Kings. Are we so keen for God to use us? Are we willing to ask God the Holy Spirit to fill us day by day, as the Apostle Paul bids us in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, "Be continually filled with the Spirit." Be continually filled with the Spirit. Fifthly, and finally, Elisha trusted God. When he struck the Jordan with Elijah's cloak, he trusted God to divide the waters so he could cross. When he threw salt into the Jericho well, he trusted God to make the water wholesome. When he told a widow to pour olive oil into all the cups she'd gathered to pay her late husband's debts, he trusted God to keep the oil flowing until all were full. When he prayed to the Lord for the dead boy, he trusted God to bring him back to life. When he put flour in the pot with the bitter stew, he trusted God to make it good to eat. When he told his servants to give out those 20 loaves to the 100 men, he trusted God to make it enough for all. When he told Naaman to wash in the Jordan, he trusted God to heal him of leprosy. When he threw a stick into the water, he trusted God to make a sunken axe head float. When he asked God to blind temporarily the soldiers who'd come to capture him, he trusted God to make them so. And when he said the famine would soon be over, he trusted God to bring it about. He trusted God. Do we? We worship the same God. Do we trust God to look after us? At home? At work? On holiday? Do we trust God to answer our prayers in the best way possible? Do we trust God to look after our possessions, our home, our money, our everything else? Do we trust God to show us what to do when we have a choice to make? Elisha trusted God for bigger things. God never let him down. He is the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can depend on him. He will not let us down.